A bill that would drastically change the laws around parental rights and frozen embryos is awaiting Governor Ducey's signature. In the case of a couple that freezes an embryo and then splits up, the rights of the embryo would go to whichever parent chooses to have the baby. It would also do this despite whatever contract the two parents signed previously. As you can imagine, this raises a lot of questions and legal concerns. Joining me now to explain this and what it means from a legal point of view is Susan Crocken. She's a senior scholar and adjunct professor at Georgetown Law Center, and she teaches assisted reproductive technology law there. So, Susan, first tell us, have you ever heard of a law like this elsewhere in the country before?
I've never seen anything like this before.
Really? How is this regulated in most places?
There are 20 states or so that have had disputes, and they tend to say what the parties wanted is what we should do, what the couples decided. California is probably a leader in terms of legislation, and they have a very clear law. It requires clinics provide their patients with a form for advance written directives, what they want to do in a situation exactly like this, and they have to specify. And I think that is what we're seeing mostly around the country is clear consents and agreements as to disposition and usually following those.
So let's talk a little bit about the implications then of this legislation. What sort of legal challenges would you anticipate coming if a law like this is passed in our state?
There are a few different ones. I think the biggest one immediately would be constitutionality and to the argument that it impinges on procreative decision making for each party to the couple. So I think that's the first and most obvious one is, you know, is it really constitutional to deprive someone of their ability to decide whether to procreate or not to procreate? I also think, though, that it's overly broad, even if it were to pass constitutional muster, in that if it's a sincere attempt and intent to protect fertility preservation for the party who no longer can produce their own genetic child, I think it's pretty easily circumvented. And
I think
it looks like a very naive piece of legislation because, first of all, there's nothing about parentage. It simply says who will best develop the embryo to birth. So the vast majority of these will be applying to women because most men will be able to produce another child with sperm unless there is a spermatic.
Right.
Then the question will be, well, the wife obviously is the one asking for these. And it seems to me a clever position is simply it will always be better to develop this embryo to birth by a woman who has had no health issues. So I, the ex-husband, should always get the embryos because I can find a healthy woman to implant them in.
So there are lots of questions that come from that, though. So, like, say that does happen. Say a couple is divorced, the husband takes possession of that woman's embryos. Would he be able to sort of take those embryos and implant them in another woman if he were to get remarried?
Yes, that would be the implication of this law, and the ex-wife would have no legal parental rights to the resulting child unless she sought them. And so, he could implant them in one surrogate or, you know, three surrogates, depending on how many embryos they have or what he wants to do. There's also nothing that says he couldn't donate them to his sister, his cousin, or his best friend.
Are there other questions or scenarios that come to mind for you that are legally concerning if something like this is to become law?
There are a number of things that I find concerning if this was enacted. I don't think it helps the women who it was intended to help if it is a sincere effort. I think they will end up in a court battling with their ex-husbands in front of a court trying to prove that they can bring embryos to life, that their uteruses are intact, that they can find someone to carry a child for them. I think it's going to make people in Arizona very uncomfortable going forward with IVF treatment. And I think it's going to just prolong the arguments over this. To me, the much better way that we've been approaching this is through consents and agreements that very explicitly say what we, the couple, want done at the time of our divorce, death, etc. I know there was a point at which the Arizona legislators said, the judge has asked us to do something, so we're just doing something.
Right.
But I think the something that makes a lot more sense is to look at legislation like California that says you must give clear options to your patients and they must choose clear options before they start treatment.
Yeah. So I want to talk about sort of how this fits into the ongoing debate over personhood, right? Like who counts as a person?
My sense is this law is either well-intended and very naive, or it is a new front in what I think are sort of the Trojan horse wars on personhood. We have seen a raft of state bills that have not gone anywhere that try to personify embryos. And while this, as you asked me at the beginning, have I seen anything like this? The answer is no. But it does seem to me to suggest that it could be just another front in that attempt, that it really isn't about protecting the rights of IVF patients, but about trying to come up with a law that says an embryo is a person in the eyes of the law and entitled to be born, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's where I see it fitting in. And again, I don't know what the intention of the legislature was, but I certainly think if passed, it certainly moves that battle forward, if you will.
I wonder, so if it's signed by the governor and it becomes law, do you think that other states will follow suit? What do you think that means for this debate going forward?
I don't think other states would follow suit because I think it's such an unworkable provision. But I do think it would embolden people to put these types of bills in, just the way the so-called personhood bills did for embryos. I think we would probably see more attempts to do it. I think after several months, we may see the shakeout on something like this if it's passed, where people aren't going to do IVF in Arizona, or you know, some of this is going to be taken care of by technology because egg freezing is going to eliminate eventually the need to freeze embryos.
All right. Thank you so much, Susan, for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Susan Crockin is a senior scholar and adjunct professor at Georgetown Law Center, teaching assisted reproductive technology law.